Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are discussing chapter 14, text 16. Karmana sukritasyahu. Satvikam nirmalam phalam. Rajasastu phalam dukam. Agyanam tamasa phalam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The result of pious action is pure and is said to be in the mode of goodness. But action done in the mode of passion results in misery, and action performed in the mode of ignorance results in foolishness. Purport. The result of pious activities in the mode of goodness is pure. Therefore, the sages, who are free from all illusion, are situated in happiness. But activities in the mode of passion are simply miserable. Any activity for material happiness is bound to be defeated. If, for example, one wants to have a skyscraper, so much human misery has to be undergone before a big skyscraper can be built. The financier has to take much trouble to earn a mass of wealth, and those who are slaving to construct the building have to render physical toil. The miseries are there. Thus, Bhagavad Gita says that in any activity performed under the spell of the mode of passion, there is definitely great misery. There may be a little so-called mental happiness. I have this house or this money, but this is not actually happiness. As far as the mode of ignorance is concerned, the performer is without knowledge, and therefore all his activities result in present misery, and afterwards he will go on toward animal life. Animal life is always miserable, although under the spell of the illusory energy, Maya, the animals do not understand this. Slaughtering poor animals is also due to the mode of ignorance. The animal killers do not know that in the future, the animal will have a body suitable to kill them. That is the law of nature. In human society, if one kills a man, he has to be hanged. That is the law of the state. Because of ignorance, people do not perceive that there is a complete state controlled by the Supreme Lord. Every living creature is a son of the Supreme Lord, and he does not tolerate even an ant's being killed. One has to pay for it. So, indulgence in animal killing for the taste of the tongue is the grossest kind of ignorance. A human being has no need to kill animals because God has supplied so many nice things. If one indulges in meat eating anyway, it is to be understood that he is acting in ignorance and is making his future very dark. Of all kinds of animal killing, the killing of cows is most vicious because the cow gives us all kinds of pleasure by supplying milk. Cow slaughter is an act of the grossest type of ignorance. In the Vedic literature, The words Gobi Tu, Gobi Prinita Matsaram indicate that one who, being fully satisfied by milk, is desirous of killing the cow, is in the grossest ignorance. There is also a prayer in the Vedic literature that states, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagatataya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. My Lord, you are the well-wisher of the cows and the brahmanas, and you are the well-wisher of the entire human society and world. Vishnu Purana. The purport is that special mention is given in that prayer for the protection of the cows and the brahmanas. Brahmanas are the symbol of spiritual education, and cows are the symbol of the most valuable food. These two living creatures, the brahmanas and the cows, must be given all protection. That is real advancement of civilization. In modern human society, spiritual knowledge is neglected and cow killing is encouraged. It is to be understood then that human society is advancing in the wrong way, wrong direction, and is clearing the path to its own condemnation. A civilization which guides the citizens to become animals in their next life is certainly not a human civilization. The present human civilization is, of course, grossly mislead by the modes of passion and ignorance. It is a very dangerous age, and all nations should take care to provide the easiest process, Krishna consciousness, to save humanity from the greatest danger. So I beg the blessings of all the assembled devotees. I'd just like to expand on this verse, which is very elaborately explained already by Srila Prabhupada. But we'll try, by your blessings, to add a little bit more to glorify the Supreme Lord and his pure devotee. So, last chapter, chapter 13, we were discussing nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness. It was a very technical chapter. And this chapter is way more practical. Krishna is explaining to Arjuna how a living entity, a conditioned soul, is entrapped in the three modes of material nature. And now every activity that we do can be characterized according to these three modes. So there's a very wonderful illustration that you can see outside in our diorama exhibit beside the shoe stall, that the three modes of nature are like three puppeteers, and we are like the puppets that are being pulled by the strings of these three modes. The three modes are ignorance, passion, and goodness. So we're today going to talk about the three modes. We're going to analyze. Then we're going to talk about something that every person who reads these chapters goes through, is paralysis, or a feeling that I'm stuck in these modes. How can I free myself from these modes? And then thirdly, we'll talk about how to transcend these modes. So this verse is talking about activity and how activity can be characterized according to different modes. So activity in the mode of goodness, it leads to real knowledge and happiness. Earlier in this chapter, Krishna was explaining that someone in the mode of goodness, his just naturally feeling happiness. The nine gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge or happiness. Now this real knowledge, it leads to purity. And an example that comes to mind is His Holiness Varshana Swami. Now, Varshana Swami grew up in Krishna consciousness in New Vrindavan. And many devotees didn't have much opportunity to interact with him because he was always in the field. He was always on a tractor, always, you know, doing all kinds of farming activities. He had this one task where he had to level a mountain. So you can just imagine how much time he was spending on the tractor. Actually, years went by. He was just on the tractor. Hardly anyone knew he existed except the Supreme Lord, Krishna, in everyone's heart. And then one day, the temple commander asked him to give a class. So for years, he wasn't giving any classes. He was just out there in the field, farming. And then one day, he was asked to give class. And because he was so ready to do whatever the authority would say, he gave a class. And the class was so powerful, so moving, that the devotees in the audience, some of them were moved to tears. And after the class, they came and they approached and they said, "You were on the tractor all these years. Where did you get all this wonderful realizations and such purity?" So where Varshana Swami got this purity was just from acting in the mode of goodness and ultimately in the mode of pure goodness, which we'll discuss later. So activity in the mode of goodness leads to purity. Activity in the mode of passion leads to greed and unfulfilled desires, unlimited desires. Srila Prabhupada in the purport gives the example of building a skyscraper and how there's so much endeavor that goes into building a skyscraper, especially in India. In Canada, I've seen skyscrapers go up within 6 months, but here, I've been coming every year to visit Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, and I'm noticing that there's a building in the back. It's slowly manifesting, but it's taking years. So much endeavor, so much money that had to be raised by the contractor, so many workers spending so much time. I noticed that one of the floors has been done up nicely. I'm guessing either the contractor or some of the workers are living there. So the point, though, is that so much endeavor that goes into building a skyscraper. Similarly, this December month is what we call the book distribution marathon. So many of the devotees are out in Mumbai and all over India sharing Krishna consciousness with others through Srila Prabhupada's transcendental books. So this has been going on for many years. And in the 1970s, the book distribution marathon was a very competitive activity for the devotees. Devotees were endeavoring to be number one. So in Los Angeles, which was one of the biggest temples, one devotee wanted to be number one. So in the morning, when all the devotees were taking prasadam, he skipped prasadam, he skipped breakfast, and he went out in Sankirtan. So all the other devotees, they finished their breakfast and they went to pack their bags of books with books. And then they went to the shoe stall and they noticed that all of their shoes had been mixed together And not only that, but their shoes were tied to each other, the shoelaces. So the Sankirtan devotees had to spend another 45 minutes just untying all their shoes, figuring out whose shoes were who. So like this, by the time they got out on book distribution, the devotee who had sabotaged their shoes had distributed, you know, more. But this is an example of acting in the mode of passion. That it's all about progressing in my own activities, in my own endeavors. I don't care about anyone else's endeavors. Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and he was walking in a park in Oakland, and he passed by a small zoo. And on the zoo gate, there was a sign that said "Children's Fairyland." Srila Prabhupada, he looked over to the skyline, the skyscrapers in the distance, and he said, "Adults' Fairyland." So, passion is characterized by unlimited desires, always rushing here and there to do something. And ignorance is characterized by laziness and madness, which leads to foolishness. And Srila Prabhupada very extensively explains here in the purport how killing of animals is an activity in the mode of ignorance. He gives a few reasons why. The first reason he gives is that we're all equal. So how can we inflict pain on another living entity, on a friend, on an equal? In the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 5, Krishna says, "Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavihasini suni chaiva svapakija pandita samadarshana." That the learned sages, they see with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki. So that's the first point, that we're all equal on a spiritual level. Just like if I had a brother who had a handicap, who was mentally challenged, would I show any less love to my younger brother? No. Similarly, why should I show less love to my fellow brothers and sisters, the animals? That's the first reason that's been given here. The second reason is that most people eat meat not because it's a survival situation, but they do it because of taste. Which isn't a very, according to Shastra, it isn't a very good reason. Survival is another thing. Now, taking this argument of survival, Srila Prabhupada gives a third reason, and that is that there are so many alternatives. Vegetarianism has been a part of Indian culture for thousands of years. People have been healthy and they've been happy. No deficiency, no protein deficiency. So that's the third reason that Srila Prabhupada gives, is that there's so much, the world around us, just look around, we have so many alternatives. Fruits, vegetables, grains, beans. And then he goes on to explain that killing of the cow is the worst, because first of all, it shows ungratefulness. Because here the cow is having plenty of milk, and so we're drinking that milk, we're becoming satisfied, we're becoming nourished, and then what do? We turn around and we kill the cow. It shows ingratitude. And the second reason is that Krishna, he likes cows. This verse that's quoted here, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitai Cha. So, if I have a master, if I work for someone, and I do something that they don't like, is that going to be good for me, for my employment? Probably not. So, similarly, we're all ultimately subservient to the Supreme Lord. So if we do something that he personally doesn't like, then it's certainly painful to his heart. We can look at it like that. So this is an activity in the mode of ignorance, basically. Now this is our analysis of the three modes for today. And now we're going to talk about paralysis, which means that we've understood a little bit about the modes and how, based on our activities, we can see ourselves in different modes. But can we change the modes that we're under? You know, can we actually say, if I'm in the mode of ignorance, can I actually bring myself to the mode of goodness? And not only that, if I succeed in bringing myself into the mode of goodness, how long can I stay in the mode of goodness? Because it's explained here in this chapter that the modes are constantly fighting with each other. Sometimes goodness is prevailing, sometimes passion, sometimes ignorance. In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. That the living entity, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities which in actuality are carried out by the three modes of material nature. So, where is our control? According to that verse, it's the three modes that are acting. So if I am predominantly in the mode of ignorance, I can't do anything about it. So now how can we come out of the mode of ignorance or passion or goodness? Srila Prabhupada explains that the mode of goodness is like a springboard. And if you can get in the mode of goodness, then transcending the modes is much easier. And the way to come into the mode of goodness is to hear transcendental subject matter like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. What this does is it slowly purifies us. And we may not actually see how our consciousness is changing, but it is. You see, as spiritualists, we may perform devotional service, but if our service is tinged by the modes of passion and ignorance, then the attainment of Krishna consciousness is slower. But if our service is in the mode of goodness, then Krishna consciousness is so much quicker, comes so much quicker. So we need to strive for the mode of goodness. Srila Prabhupada has very kindly given us the process of devotional service. And it's explained here in the last sentence, and I'd like to read it again. It is a very dangerous age. That is the age that we're living in right now. and all nations should take care to provide the easiest process, Krishna consciousness, to save humanity from the greatest danger. Why is Krishna consciousness so easy? Well, because you don't have to change anything external. You know, like you can go on with whatever you're doing, working, studying. Even you can continue with your belief system, even. Continue on with your religion. But all you got to do is just make slight changes in the way you perceive the world around you. This is the secret to Krishna consciousness. And that's why it's so easy. As we go along in life, we start to feel a little bit of the pressure to be something, to fulfill our goals, our desires. So, recently, I read how we can make sure we use time properly. The way to make sure we use time properly is to teach others how to use time properly. And it's very simple, but try it. Another tip to be Krishna conscious is to constantly remain in spiritual sound. This world is pervaded by sound vibration. You may not even realize it. But if I stop speaking, it's still sound. But what does that sound do for you? What does it do for your consciousness? It may give you some bodily relaxation, freedom from, you know, some of the heat. But what does it do for your consciousness? What to speak of when you go out there and you interact with people, with colleagues, with your fellow classmates, and you hear things that entangle one more in the modes of nature. Just bind one more to the three modes of nature. So that's another tip, to constantly remain in spiritual sound. And another thing is that we should not be discouraged. Like I was saying, that if we teach others how to use time wisely, then we use time wisely. So we should not become discouraged if those that we teach don't show interest. Just like sometimes the patient is so diseased that you try to give medicine and the patient just rejects. Like, for example, when my sister was around 10 years old, she had a concussion, which means she slipped on some ice and she hit her head. So she was taken to the hospital, and she was delirious. So the doctor was trying to help her, but she was rejecting the doctor. She was kicking the doctor. Now, that was just because of her delirium, not that she's a bad person. So similarly, sometimes when we want to share our spirituality with others, our spirituality falls on deaf ears. But we should not become discouraged. But if you constantly prescribe the medicine, the disease slowly starts to disappear. Just like there was a person who had such a severe disease that he couldn't even digest anything that he would eat. He would eat something and it would just come back out. He would throw it back out. So he went to see an Ayurvedic doctor, and the Ayurvedic doctor prescribed ghee. So the patient took some ghee and threw up the ghee. But he was prescribed to take the ghee every day. So he was taking the ghee, and gradually his body absorbed some of the ghee. And like this, he became healthy enough to fight the disease and eventually became cured. So last time, I spoke about someone who came upon a book, one of these books, and by reading it, was transformed, and ultimately took up Krishna consciousness. So I thought to share another story today, because that's kind of our theme for this month, is to share Krishna consciousness with others in a big way. And really, these books, they are full of spiritual subject matters, and they are so complete that we can just give this to someone, and if they read it with an open mind, slowly, and if they come to you and ask questions and you answer them, then you'll find that this book has the power to transform a person's heart. So there was a guy by the name of Sabatino Angabeni, who at the age of 16 he decided to go on an acid trip, and he was off in the forest, intoxicated. And he happened to come upon this Krishna book trilogy. At that time, they had Krishna book in three parts. So he came upon this book, and he took it home, and he began reading it. Just by reading that, his heart changed, and he eventually became a devotee, still practicing Krishna consciousness in Chicago. So, another type of sharing is going door to door. So, sometimes it's quite difficult. You knock on someone's door and you don't know what will happen. If they'll answer the door, and if they do, they may, you know, reject you, they might call the police. So, one very big book distributor, he shares a meditation that when he goes to someone's door, he thinks that the person who's going to answer the door is a relative, is a friend of mine. And I love my relatives, I love my friends. And I know they, deep down, love me too. This is his meditation when he knocks on a stranger's door. In other words, he's seeing how we're all spirit souls and how we're all, you know, brothers and sisters. So in San Jose, he would inspire the devotees to go out door to door. So one devotee would take the Sunday school children on book distribution. So just imagine 30 kids, go, you know, not like you answer the door and there's 30 kids there. And so they would, this is how they would distribute books, and they would give them, they would give the person lollipops and cookies and books. And if anyone would not take, or if no one would answer the door, they would put like a gift package, which was a book, some prasadam, and an invitation to the temple. So like this, they were going door to door in this big apartment building. And while later, they got a call, and it was the superintendent of the building. She was calling and she was complaining that, you know, you've left all these bags in my apartment building, and you better do something about it. So the devotee said, okay, we'll come and we'll pick them up. So she came. The devotees came, and they were going from door to door looking for the bags that had not been picked up. And they couldn't find any. They went up one hallway, down the other hallway, and there were no bags in sight. So they went to the superintendent, or the manager of the apartment building. And they noticed that there was one of the books, one of Srila Prabhupada's books was there on the desk. So they said, we've come to take all of the gifts that were not taken, not received. And the manager said that actually I was going to collect them all. But when I went to collect them, everyone had taken them into their rooms. So then the devotees, they said, well, at least this one book left. We can take this at least. And the manager said, no, leave it. Actually, I'd like to read it. So this person was completely against Srila Prabhupada's books and what the devotees were doing. But just by touching the book, by seeing the book, she had a change of heart. And we see these miracles are happening every day. Not just in India, but all over the world. So book distribution is one way we can serve. And by engaging in devotional service, we can transcend the three modes of material nature, which otherwise is very difficult to overcome. Even coming to the mode of goodness in a city like Mumbai is very difficult, because city is oftentimes in the mode of passion. So devotional service is the secret. And devotional service is not difficult. Okay, we may not have much knowledge, and we might not have much faith, so we may not be so confident to go out and distribute books. But devotional service is so simple. One time, the personal servant of Srila Prabhupada, Shruti Kirti Prabhu, was with Srila Prabhupada as Srila Prabhupada was getting off the aeroplane in U.S., in Los Angeles, I think. And Srila Prabhupada hadn't visited the U.S. for 8 months, so the devotees, they were very eager to see Srila Prabhupada. And there were hundreds and hundreds of devotees at the airport. And before getting off the plane, Srila Prabhupada first went to the washroom. He applied tilak very nicely. He took a garland out of a bag from somewhere and he put it on. And like this, he made himself very nice and presentable. And then he got off the airplane and he was walking towards the devotees. And the devotees, they were so eager to see their spiritual master that many were in tears, many were dancing and chanting loudly. And Shruti Kirti Prabhu was following at a distance, and he was thinking, I'm the only one here who doesn't feel the way that these devotees are feeling. Like that was just his feeling. So, you know, the procession continued. And later on, Shruti Kirti Prabhu was massaging Srila Prabhupada. And he revealed his heart. He said, I see all the devotees. They're so enthusiastic and so they have so much love for you. But I feel I don't have that same love for you. Srila Prabhupada didn't say a word. So after the massage finished, Shruti Kirti Prabhu went to the kitchen to make the chants for Srila Prabhupada's lunch. And after some time, Srila Prabhupada called Shruti Kirti Prabhu into the room. and asked Shruti Kirti Prabhu, "Do you like your service?" And Srila Prabhupada, Shruti Kirti Prabhu said, "Yes, very much, Srila Prabhupada." And Shruti Kirti Prabhu said that this is a sign, this is the sign of love, is through service. So all these devotees, they may be dancing and chanting, but you are doing something practical. You are just doing your service, and if you just continue doing your service, you will be pleasing me. So similarly, a devotee is not looking for recognition in his service. So whatever service that we have the opportunity to engage in, we should do it with our full heart, and in that way we can show our love for our spiritual master, for Srila Prabhupada, and then ultimately Krishna. So the point is that devotional service is very simple. Another time, Srila Prabhupada was preaching to the parents of one of his disciples, and he was saying that a devotee has no ambition. Simply satisfied doing a little service. And some of the devotees were a little disturbed, thinking that the parents might not understand this properly. And Srila Prabhupada explained that everyone in this world has to serve someone, whether we like it or not. But a devotee is serving the most regal person, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So that is his pride. So a devotee has pride. But the pride is in serving a great master, the Supreme, Krishna. So like this, the process is very simple. And this is how we can transcend the modes. So to conclude, we started by analyzing the three modes. And we talked about paralysis. And we're concluding with Krishna consciousness as the solution. So are there any questions or comments or corrections? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.